place we began. The simple pursuit of nothing but you. The innocence of a heart in your head. God, take us back. Oh God, take us back to an unswerving faith in the power of your name. A heart beating for your kingdom to reign. A church that is known for your presence again. God, take us back. Nothing, no one comes close to you. Nothing could ever come close. Nothing, no one, it's you and you only. Nothing could ever come close. Keep our hearts real. Keep your grace close. You're bringing us back. You're bringing us home to an unswerving faith in the power of your name. A heart beating for your kingdom to reign. A church that is known for your presence.
this whole world may hold me down, but it can never drown you out. I'm not merely flesh and bone. I was made for something more.
Overwhelming, set it off. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. How are you? Welcome to Ascend Church.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. You're supposed to say it's great to see you, too. Thank you. Thank you. Won't you stand up with me? We welcome all those who are watching online today. As you know, we always start out our service with a time of worship, a time of praise. This is Psalm 92, verse 1. It says, "It is so enjoyable to come before you with uncontainable praises spilling from our hearts. How we love to sing our praises over and over to you, the matchless God, high and exalted over all. At each and every sunrise, we will be thanking you for your kindness and your love. As the sun sets and all through the night, we will keep proclaiming, you are so faithful. Melodies of praise will fill the air as every musical instrument, joined with every heart, overflows with worship. No wonder I'm so glad. I can't keep it in, Lord. I'm shouting with glee over all you've done, over all you've done for me." Is anyone here that has a reason to give God praise? Has He done anything for you? Let me tell you, the fact that you're here right now, you've got breath in your body, you can give God praise. The Bible says, let everything that has breath give Him praise. So I want you to join with us and join with the singers and the musicians, and let's join as one melody to lift our voice and to praise God, to make His name known throughout the earth. Can you say amen? Father, we thank you for your goodness, that you are so faithful. Lord, it is so wonderful to sing praises. We are so grateful for all that you've done in our life. And we lift our voice and we praise your name in Jesus' name.
There you go. Put your hands together and sing out loud with me.
Shout the praises of our God. There's nothing that can stand again.
song, You Make Me Brave.
Before you now, the greatness of your renown. I have heard of the majesty and wonder of you, the King of heaven and humility. I bow, and as your
way for all of us to enter in. You make me brave, and you stand beside me when things aren't well, and you give me strength, you give me faith, and He's always there beside me, and I'm never afraid as long as you have Jesus beside you. And
I will not be afraid. I will stand with you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. You're with me all the way. Even in good times and in bad times, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Into your love, in wave after wave, it crashes. Cause you are for us, and you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter. And you are for us, you make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore. Oh, oh, oh. Cause you are for us. You are not against us, champion of heaven. You made a way for all to enter in.
Yes.
You make me brave. You make me brave. Call me out beyond the shore into the waves. You make me way. You make me brave. You make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. 'Cause you make me brave. You make me brave. No fear can hinder now the promises you made.
Step
Jesus. Oh no.
Sing the before me part. Let's sing that together. Let's sing it together.
Before me, behind me, always beside me, no shadow, no valley, where you won't find me, no, I am not afraid. Before me, behind me, always beside me, no shadow, no valley, where you won't find me.
Aren't you glad that we do not have to be afraid, no matter what we may face? David said in Psalm 23, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because Lord, you are with me. Your staff, your rod, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Amen. Well, let me tell you, we're going to have prayer and praise time right now. And we're going to pray for you. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, in verse number 12. Listen to this, what Jesus said. He said, I tell you the truth. This is the truth. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done. Let me see your hands if you believe in Jesus. Say, this is talking to me. Because he said, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. He said, you can ask for most things in my name. You can ask for almost anything in my name. Is that what it says? What does it say? You can ask for anything in my name. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for, if you didn't get it the first time, Jesus say it again. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Amen. And then in Mark chapter 16, Jesus said this, these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. Let me see your hand if you believe. Say, these signs accompany me. Because that's what it says, right? These miracle signs will accompany anyone who believes. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in tongues. They will be supernaturally protected from snakes, from drinking anything poisonous, from any virus. Are you telling me that I'm protected from a snake but not from a virus? We have supernatural protection, and they will lay hands on the sick and heal them. They will lay hands on the sick and heal them. That's what we're going to do today. After the service last Sunday, somebody asked me, I went outside and I was saying goodbye to people, and we had a new person last week, and they asked me to pray for their mom. And I thought to myself, I want to make sure that I pray for everybody here today that needs prayer. Because I believe the words of Jesus. How many believe the words of Jesus? I believe that is the truth. I believe that he said, those who believe in me, these signs are going to follow them. They're going to do the same works I did. You can ask anything in my name and I'll do it. You lay hands on the sick, they will be healed. You'll drive out demons in the power of the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, we serve a God who is powerful. We believe a gospel that is powerful. Not just eloquent words, but Paul the Apostle, he said, my preaching was not just with eloquent words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Let me tell you, God likes to demonstrate His power and His Spirit. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a protector. He's a provider. He's a miracle worker. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. Everything He did in the Bible, He's still doing it today. All it takes is faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So I want to pray today. I'm going to ask Tom and Anna to help me. And I want you to come. If you need prayer, if you need healing, if you have a financial need, whatever it is, you say, if you say, Pastor Steve, I need the Lord's help in my life. I'm struggling with this addiction. Let me tell you, the Lord will set you free just like that. I need healing in my body. Oh, the believer lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. They will recover. Whatever it is that you're facing, I want you to know you're in the house of God. You're in the, Jesus is in our midst. He said, my house will be a house of prayer. This is a place to come and call upon the Lord and see Him do miracles for you. We do not gather here today out of some kind of religious duty so we can check off the list and say, well, I went to church. I'm not here by any religious duty or compulsion. I'm here because I believe that we are in the presence of God. I believe that Jesus is here. I believe the power, the miracle working power of God is in our midst, and we believe signs and wonders to be done and for Jesus to demonstrate that He is real, that He's alive, and that He loves you and that He cares about you. Amen. So all those who are watching me today, whatever it is you're facing, I'm going to pray with you. I want you to agree with me, because the Bible says if any two on earth will agree about anything they ask, it will be done for them by our Father in heaven. There's power when two believers gather in agreement. And whether we may be miles and miles apart, you may be watching me in South Africa, but Jesus is right there with you. He's right here with me, and we're going to come into agreement right now. We all together are going to agree with you. So if you need prayer, I'm going to pray right now. You ready? Father, I pray for every person who's watching this today, whatever their need may be, I thank you that you are the miracle working God. I thank you there's nothing that is too difficult for you. I thank you that it is an easy thing. It is a simple thing for the Lord. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no. Father, I thank you. You're the healer. You're the deliverer. You're our provider. You're our protector. Father, I pray for every person watching me. I take authority over fear. I command fear to leave you. Father, I ask, let your healing power flow right now. I command you to be healed. I command your body to be healed. I release the healing power of Jesus to flow into you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would provide every need, every financial need. I thank you for protecting the person that's watching. I thank you for divine protection, divine provision, divine healing. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not need to fear, because you, your staff comforts us, and you prepare a table in the presence of our enemies. I thank you, Father, for blessing us right in the valley. Thank you that there are blessings in that valley. Thank you for taking what the enemy meant for our destruction and using it for our good in Jesus' name. If you agree with that today, will you shout out amen? Shout out a big amen and amen. Now, as we sing this final song, I want to welcome Janine, who's going to join our team, and we're so glad to have you with us, Janine. And give her a big hand, won't you, Janine? And as we sing this final song, it's called Worthy. I want to encourage you to sing along with us, to lift your voice, and to just worship God from your innermost being. And if you need prayer, I want you to come right now. Don't hesitate. Come right now. Tom and Anna, Jill and I, we're going to be here. We're going to pray for you. And we're going to sing this song, Worthy Are You, Lord. Amen? Thank you.
It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. And now my shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love.
Exalt you now, Lord, in the heavens.
Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name of
Give God praise in this place, family. There is a supernatural aspect to the gospel that it takes an effort for you to step into, says the Lord. And if you want more than what you see, you're going to have to do more than what you're doing, says the Lord. Because my power is readily available. My power is available to my children. My spirit has been sent into the earth on your behalf, not on my behalf, and on your behalf, says the Lord. And yet you hesitate to access everything I have. If you want to see everything I can do, you've got to reach for it, says the Lord. You've got to say, I don't want the gospel just in word only. I want the gospel in demonstration of the power of God. And just like the word says, these supernatural signs will accompany the believer. It takes a believer who says, I am accompanied by supernatural signs, who begins to walk and act like God will do miracles through them. And that's when you begin to see it, says the Lord. As you have begun worshiping today, many of you, on the words of the pastor, began to feel a stirring in your heart. It is a stirring of my spirit, says the Lord. For what you see is not all that I have. What you see is but a tip of the iceberg, says the Lord. There is great power available to my church. But who is going to reach out and take what I've given? Who is going to say, Lord, use me? Lord, let miracles follow me. Let signs and wonders accompany me. Just like your word said, if that's you in this place, just lift your hands. Those who are watching, just there's a stirring of the Spirit of God. There's a cry of God's heart for more to be done through His church. You are His body. You are His hands. You are His mouthpiece. He needs to work through you, says the Lord. I need to work through you. So lift your hands and say, use me, Lord. Touch my family. Touch my life. Touch strangers through my life. Speak through my mouth. Work through my hands. Lead me where you want me to go. Let me see signs and wonders and supernatural begin to erupt in my life. Hallelujah. Say, I receive that. I receive that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a hunger. We need a hunger for the things of God. We need a hunger. Like Pastor Steve said, it's not just checking a box or saying, well, I got saved and so I know I'm going to heaven. It's what we do now in the earth. And He wants a powerful church. We are a powerful church, but are we using what He's given us? To what degree? Probably just a touch. Amen. Welcome to church this morning. Won't you just wave to someone, say hi? We want more. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome to those watching online. So glad you've joined us today. Whether you're watching on Facebook Live or YouTube or on our app or our website, I ask you to just take a moment and share that. Those of you sitting here, I've got myself breathless. Go ahead and share that on social media. We have far more people watch us online than are in service, sometimes just for a geographical reason. Right now, it's that we have a lot that are not back in church yet, but we love you. We miss you. We're glad you're watching. Just sit down and enjoy the service. Participate. Get your notepad and pen, your Bible, and take part in the service with us this morning. Amen. But I'm glad you're here. Who's glad to be here? Good. See some faces I haven't seen for a while. Good to see you. We want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We've had visitors every single week during this lockdown, and thank God it's easing up.
I'm grateful for that. Thank God. We believe the coronavirus is dissipating. It's getting less and less. The numbers are going down. That's our confession. We believe in God for that. Amen. Don't say what the news says. Say what the word says, right? But we want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We'd like to just give you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you just mind waving your hand that we can welcome you? Anybody, God bless you. God, anyone else? God bless you. I know you're here for the first time. Anyone else? Thank you. Just wave it again. Our ushers will get one to you. As a visitor pack, in there's a couple of things. One is a card that says guest. We ask you just take a moment and fill that out. And in a few moments, we'll pass an offering bucket by. If you drop that card in, it just gives Pastor Steve the opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. We are, I want to tell you, remind you of the four purposes of our church, because this matters to all of us. Our first purpose is that you would know God. We don't want to know about God. We want to know Him. We want to know His nature. We want to know the way He works. Then you recognize His voice when you hear it, right? When you know God. Each time you come in here, we want you to know God somewhat better. Second of all, we want you to find freedom. You know, whether you're here for the first time today or whether you've been here for a couple of years, we don't want to stay where we are. We want to be free from every bit of the past, from every addiction, from all the pain. Amen. Thirdly, we want you to discover your purpose, because a person who lives with purpose lives with expectation. Isn't that true? And we are a body, and the Bible says each one of us is gifted, so we begin to use our giftings for the kingdom of God. And then lastly, we want to make a difference. You know, John the Baptist called Jesus. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," and he said, "He is the light of the world." But then Jesus turned around and he said, "You are the light of the world." So he wants to use us. Amen. Praise God. Pretty quiet today. You're going to have to stir them up. I got to stir them up. I'm going to stir you up. Who's ready to give into the kingdom of God? Come on. That's an opportunity to give this morning. Those that are watching, it's really simple. I want to say this. I want to say we've been blown away at the faithful tithers in our church. You know, we've having more and more people each week. But you know that people have been faithfully tithing, whether they're here or whether they're not. They tithe online, and that really blesses us as pastors, because it's not just it's not emotional giving. It's giving because you believe the word of God and you're committed to it, and we really appreciate that. I'm going to just read one passage of Scripture, three verses from Philippians, and it's going to tie in with Pastor Steve's message. I got it from him. He didn't get it from me. But Philippians 4:15, Paul is writing to the believers that had given. And so he says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." So they were giving into the work of God. And then he says this, he said, "For in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities." And he said, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." Now another translation says, "I seek the harvest of blessings that is going to come to you." So Paul's saying, I'm not talking to you about giving because I'm trying to get something out of you. He said, "I'm talking about giving because I want to remind you that it's giving and receiving. That when you give, you receive. And there is a harvest of blessings coming back to you." Amen. And then he says in verse 19, which a lot of us know this, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, that's a powerful scripture, and it's one we should meditate on, and it's one we should speak over our lives. But you know that that scripture applies to tithers and givers. It's not just anybody says, "Oh, well, my God shall supply all my needs." No, he was actually talking to the givers. He was saying, because you've been giving, there's a harvest of blessing coming to you, and my God will supply your every need. So how many of you believe that this morning? We got to believe God. We've got to stand on what the word says. And it says he'll supply all our need according to his riches in glory, which means it's not dependent on the economy. It's not dependent on what's going on around you. And we got to think on these things. We've got to remember that. So say this. Say, I don't trust in my money. I don't trust in my job. I'm not dependent on what the economists say. Say, my trust is in the God who created it all. My trust is in Jehovah Jireh, who supplies all my needs. Amen. So as you prepare to give, there are envelopes on the seats right where you are. Those that are watching, you can just go ahead and click give online. I give online. Every time I give or text give, it's really easy. So go ahead and do that. We appreciate you doing it. And Pastor Steve, ready for you.
Praise God. All right. How many of you are on Facebook? I know some of you that are, that didn't put your hand up. Put it up again. If you're on Facebook, raise your hand. Come on. All righty. Now, I'm looking on Facebook, and our service is live on the Ascend Church page. I'm watching our service live, and I want to encourage you, if you're on Facebook, go ahead and share this service, the live stream. I want to see a whole lot more shares than what we have up there right now. Everyone sitting in here should be sharing this. That's the only time you can look at your phone, is share the live stream on Facebook so that other people can be watching this as well. Are you bold enough to let your friends on Facebook know that you're a believer? Are you bold enough to let them know you're in church today? Thank you for your great enthusiasm this morning. I said, are you bold enough to let your friends know where you are today? Let me tell you, Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. He's coming back for a powerful, a bold church. He said that we are to go out and do the works he did. Lay hands on people who need healing and they will be healed. Jesus is coming back for a powerful church, an excited church. Is that us? Is that you? All right. Well, go ahead. I want to see a whole lot more shares. Oh, there should be everybody in here sharing that live stream. Thank you on Facebook. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited to let you know that we have Prophet Ed Trout is going to be with us on Sunday, May the 31st. Now I can hear myself. I can hear myself down there in the congregation. Everyone's got their phone going now. Turn the volume down. Prophet Ed Trout, we all love Prophet Ed Trout. I called him the other day, and I was just sitting there, and I thought, well, you know, I guess Ed's available, because usually it's very hard to get Prophet Ed Trout. He's booked up usually for at least a year, sometimes 2 years. We have to book Ed a year in advance, but he's available right now. Because 93% of the churches are closed. Well, I hope there's more open today. So I said, well, Ed, you're at home and we're open. Why don't you come down? So he's going to come and minister on Sunday, May 31st. We're going to have, he'll speak at our normal 10 a.m. service. But we're also going to have a 6 p.m. service on that day. So 10 a.m., 6 p.m. And, you know, it's interesting to me that day, if you didn't know it, May 31st, is Pentecost Sunday. It's 50 days since Jesus' resurrection. And I think it's significant. There are 3,000 churches in California that have joined together, and they have declared on Sunday the 31st of May, on Pentecost Sunday, they are having church no matter what. And I tell them, go for it. I'm with you. We haven't missed one single Sunday. Go for it. Pentecost Sunday. I believe it is significant. And Prophet Ed Trout will be with us on Pentecost Sunday. Make plans to invite someone, bring somebody. Come and be here. We're going to have a great time. Amen. Say, I'm glad to be in church today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. Are you ready for God's word this morning? Say, I am ready. I was so blessed. I was speaking with Shannon. Wave at me, Shannon, before the service. And she said to me, Pastor Steve, I come to church, and then when I go home, I watch the live stream in the week. Is that what you told me? I go home and I watch the live stream. Then she said, then when it comes out on the mobile app on Tuesday, I listen to it again. She said, I listen to this every Sunday sermon three times. And I get so much out of it. Shannon, you and me, man, when I go home, I watch the live stream. Because I want to make sure everything ran right. That's why I'm doing it. So I'm watching it again. But you get so much more out of it when you do that. So you can watch this live stream. It'll be on our mobile app on Tuesday. And that was a blessing to me. Well, Father, we thank you today for your presence. We thank you for your word. Lord, your word is what brings us faith. It brings us hope. It brings us direction. It brings us light, Lord. You've exalted your word even above your name. And Lord, as I stand to declare your word today, I thank you that you help me, you anoint me, you speak through me. Lord, I give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done. I thank you, Lord, for anointing each person. I thank you, Lord, that your word goes into every heart and causes faith to rise up big, that all fear is removed, all unbelief is removed, that our faith rises up strong in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree, say amen. And amen. Well, this morning, I want to speak to you about meditate on these things. And I get that title from 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse number 15. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said this. He said, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Paul said, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. What are the things that we are to be meditating on and giving ourselves to entirely? We are to be meditating on the things that God says in His Word. We are to be meditating on the promises of God that are in the Word of God. And when you meditate on the Word of God, your progress will be seen. It will be evident to all. People will be able to tell. In fact, the Passion Bible says, so everyone can see that you are moving forward. If you want to move forward in your life, determine that you are going to meditate on the things God says in His Word. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Meditate means to think deeply about over and over. It means to focus your mind for a period of time. It means to ponder or even to mutter. To meditate, you think about it, something over and over, over, and over. Your studies tell us that we talk to ourselves up to 30,000 times a day. There's always something playing in our mind. We all are meditating. It's just the question is, what are we meditating on? Everyone's meditating. We got to pay attention. What are you meditating on? Because there's a big difference between just having a thought or even hearing what God's Word says. You know, just because you hear what God's Word says, that doesn't necessarily mean you're meditating on it. Just because you read a scripture, that's not necessarily meditating on it. Really, meditating is the same principle as worrying. Now, we all know how to do that. No one has to teach you how to worry. Because when you worry, what do? You keep thinking about that and you keep dwelling on it. When you worry, you're meditating on the wrong things. You're using your faith in reverse. If you go through the day and you're worried about your finances, or you're worried about your family, or you're worried about your future, or you're worried about your health, or you're worried about this virus, because you're allowing the wrong thoughts, you're meditating on the wrong things, it's going to cause you to be anxious, to be fearful, to be discouraged. The problem is what we're choosing to meditate on. You see, say this, say, I control the doorway to my mind. You see, when those negative thoughts come knocking, you do not have to answer the door. You can just say, no, thank you. I choose to meditate on what God says about me. I'm going to think about on what God says instead of what the enemy's trying to tell me to meditate on. Are you with me? Today, let me tell you, more than ever, there's more doom and gloom. I mean, if you watch the news for very long, you'll get depressed. The COVID virus, the economy, the stock market, and this and that. People are panicked. Let me tell you, if you go through the day thinking about how bad it is, oh, I wonder if I'm going to make it, Pastor Steve. What if I lose my job? What if my retirement goes down? What if this happens? What if that happens? If you meditate on that, you'll be stressed out. Now, I like to watch the news myself. I'm not saying put your head in the sand, but I've learned not to meditate on negative news reports. I'm aware of it, but I'm not meditating on it. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. God tells us what to meditate on. The Amplified Bible says, fix your mind on these things. Meditate on what is true. Meditate on what is noble, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what is of good report. If it's not of good report, you don't want to meditate on it. If it's not praiseworthy, you don't want to meditate on it. In fact, the Living Bible says it like this. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. Think about what can you give God praise for and what can you be glad about. When you meditate on God's word, you're meditating on the truth. God's word is the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me tell you, when you meditate on the word of God, you are meditating on the truth. What the news media tells you is not the truth. It could be a fact. It could be a fact, but it's not the truth. Is this true? Yet people are meditating on what the news media says, and this doctor says, and that scientist says, and my neighbor says this, and this one says that, and they're fearful, and they're worried, and they're stressed out. The Bible says meditate on these things, things of good report, things that are praiseworthy, things that are true. Don't dwell on it if it's not a good report, because all it'll do is poison your spirit. Instead of replaying the doom and the gloom over and over again, rather replay in your mind what God says. Are you with me? Your financial situation may look a little shaky, but let me tell you what God says. God says in Philippians 4 verse 19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Meditate on that. That's what I do. I meditate on it. I think about it. My God will supply all of my needs according to his riches. I just think about it. My God promised he'll supply all of my needs. And then I imagine all my needs supplied because I'm meditating on what God says. He said he'll prosper you even if there's even in a famine. God can prosper you even if there's a famine going on around you. In Jeremiah 17, verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and has made the Lord his hope and his confidence. He is like a tree planted along a riverbank with his roots reaching deep into the water, a tree not bothered by the heat, not worried by long months of drought. Its leaves stay green. It goes right on producing all of its luscious fruit. It's in Isaiah 43, 19, it says, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. in Malachi 3 verse 10, I am the Lord all powerful and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house, and then I will open the windows of heaven and I will flood you with blessing after blessing. I meditate on that. The windows of heaven are open above me because I am faithful to tithe and God is flooding me with blessing after blessing. God said when you tithe, he'll open the windows of heaven and he'll pour out blessings that you cannot contain. And all the tithers said, Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1 says that it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commands that I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Verse 8 says the Lord will command his the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand to. Everything I put my hand to, God says it'll be blessed. He'll bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving. Listen, family, meditate on that. I'm saying meditate on it. When you go home, take those scriptures and think about them and say them out loud and think about them. Because the more you meditate on it, the more it'll become a reality in your life. Amen. Get your mind going in the right direction. Because how many of you know the economy is not our source? God is our source. Your job is not your source. God is your source. We may not know all the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And our trust is not in the economy. My trust is not in the government. My trust is only in the Lord and Him alone. David said in Psalm 20 verse 7, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen. The Passion Bible says it like this. It says, some people find their strength in weapons and wisdom, but my miracle deliverance can never be won by men. Our boast is in the Lord our God who makes us strong and gives us victory. Meditate on that. In modern times, we would say, some trust in their money, some trust in their job, some trust in what the economists say, but our trust is in the God who created it all. Our trust is in Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord, our provider. That's where our trust is. You see, when you meditate on that, you won't have total fear. You'll have total peace. You'll know God is in control. You'll know that He's giving you the total victory. Amen? It all depends what you meditate on. You can meditate on the problem or you can meditate on the promises. You can meditate on the news report or you can meditate on God's report. In Isaiah 53 verse 1, it says, who has believed our report? Have you ever heard the song, whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Well, that's my question. Whose report are you going to believe? God's report or somebody else's report? As for me, I believe the report of the Lord. Because let me tell you, what you allow to play in your mind is going to determine the kind of life you live. In Isaiah 26 verse 3, it says, you will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you, all those whose thoughts are fixed on you, all those who are meditating on these things, you will keep them in perfect peace. The Passion Bible says it like this, perfect absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. Say, I'm surrounded by perfect peace because I got my mind fixed on Him. See, there's a way to have perfect peace. How? Keep your thoughts fixed on the Lord. Keep your thoughts fixed on what He says in His Word. Be careful what you think about, because what you meditate on determines what you think, determines what you believe, determines what you say, and that determines what you do. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, the Bible says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. What you are thinking is determining the course of your life. The contemporary English contemporary English Bible says, more than anything you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it. More than anything you protect, you got to protect this. The New Living Bible says it determines the course of your life. You got to pay attention to what you're meditating on, because you're choosing what direction your life will go. Don't just meditate on any thought that comes into your mind. I have a lot of thoughts come to my mind that are not the right thoughts. What do I do? I ignore them. I don't keep on thinking about it. If it's negative, if it's discouraging, if it's fearful, I don't give it the time of day. The battle is taking place in your mind. Let me tell you, the enemy has attacked the entire world and with fear, and the battle's in your mind with what we're being told and what we're meditating on. You see, this is where the Israelites missed it. Moses sent 12 men to spy out the promised land. And after 40 days, the spies came back. And 10 of the spies, 10 of the 12 said, Moses, we don't have a chance. We'll never defeat them. Those people are huge. They're like giants. We don't have a chance against them. But the thing is, God already promised them the victory. God already said, I've given you the land. Just go take possession of it. But notice what they were thinking. They were thinking weak, defeated, limiting, fearful thoughts. They weren't meditating on what God said. The other two spies, how many of you know the other two spies? Joshua and Caleb. They had a different report. What did they say? They say, Moses, yeah, the people are big, but we know our God is bigger. We are well able. Let's go in right now and let's take the land right now. We're ready right now. Let's go. Do you know what's interesting to me? Caleb and Joshua, they saw the same giants that the other 10 spies saw. They saw the same problem. They saw the same opposition. Now, we sit here today in our comfortable air-conditioned building, on our comfortable chair, and we think, man, how could the children of Israel be so stupid? How could they do that? Really? I would never do that if that was me. Really? Let me tell you, Joshua and Caleb, instead of thinking defeated thoughts, they chose to agree with God. Joshua and Caleb weren't any bigger than the other spies. They didn't have more training or more experience or greater weapons. The only difference was in their thinking. The negative report from the 10 spies is spread like wildfire through the Israelite camp. Before long, all 2 million people were afraid, they were worried, they were negative. They said, Moses, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to being slaves. I'd rather be a slave. That's how powerful our thoughts are. 10 men infected the rest of the people. They ended up wandering around the desert for 40 years. Why? Because of the way they thought. You've got to be careful how you think. Don't get infected in your thinking and miss your destiny. My question is, are you one of the 10 spies or are you a Joshua and a Caleb? You didn't answer that the right way. Are you one of the 10 or are you a Joshua and a Caleb? It's significant that 10 of the spies were negative and only 2 were positive because it's about the same today. Do you know 80% of people will see one thing and they'll see it negatively? Only 20% will see the positive. 80% will focus on how big the problem is. They'll live afraid. Tell you how you're never going to get well. Let me tell you, if you're going to fulfill your destiny, you've got to be willing to go against the grain. You can't just fit in. One of the first messages I ever preached when I was 18 years old, I didn't do it a good job, but it was my first message I preached at our youth group. And I preached on, what was it called now? The law of progression. And I preached on that being a Christian is like, I'm off my notes, right? Just stay right there because I'm off my notes. Being a Christian is like being in a canoe rowing upstream. Let me tell you, it's easy to go downstream. Any dead fish can float downstream. It takes a live one to go upstream. If you're going to fulfill your destiny, you've got to be willing to go against the grain. You've got to be willing to go. Well, all the churches are closed down. I don't care. I'm not going to do anything God doesn't tell me to do. You've got to be willing to go against the grain. You know, you can't just be like everyone else, afraid like everybody else, complaining like everybody else, negative like that neighbor over there. God's looking for some Joshuas. He's looking for some Calebs. He's looking for some people who will stand out. People that will believe when it seems impossible. People that will face the fire and say, you can throw me in the fire. I will not bow the knee because my God will deliver me. People like Daniel that refused to stop praying no matter when they threw him in a den of lions. He said, my God will protect me. God's looking for people like that. People that aren't discouraged by how big the opposition is. Let me tell you, if this is going to happen, you've got to guard your mind, because negative news spreads much faster than positive news, than good news. Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able. We can do it. Let's go. That news didn't go anywhere. But when the people heard about the size of the giants, that spread like wildfire through the camp of the Israelites. Let me tell you, negative thinking is contagious. All around us, we've got negative news. How bad the virus is, how bad the economy is. Analysts telling us what could happen, how it may get much worse. Oh, it could be a second wave, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. I'm not finding fault with them. They're doing their job. You know, it's good to be informed, but you can't let that poison infect your spirit. If you keep meditating on that, let me tell you, you'll end up afraid, you'll end up worried, you'll end up panicked, you'll end up stressed out. Isaiah, I love this scripture. This scripture is like God put this in the Bible for such a time as this. Listen to this scripture in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12 from the Passion Bible. It says, do not think like everyone else. Don't be afraid that some plan conceived behind closed doors will be the end of you. It says, do not fear anything except the Lord God Almighty. He alone is the Holy One. And if you fear Him, you don't need to fear anything else. He'll keep you safe. Isn't that an amazing scripture? Because, you know, I know there's a lot of conspiracy theories. Let me tell you, I don't care what went on behind closed doors. I don't care if this was planned or unplanned. I know who ultimately is behind it, and that's the devil. Ultimately, the devil's behind it, and no plan conceived behind closed doors is going to be the end of me. I'm not afraid of anything. The Lord will keep me safe. Don't think like everybody else thinks. Isn't that powerful? You don't have to fear the virus. You don't have to fear what the economy is going to do. You don't have to fear the future. Just keep honoring God and He'll keep you safe. He'll defeat your enemies. He'll do what medicine cannot do. He'll provide. He promised to provide every need. Amen. Don't think like everyone else. Don't think like the 10 spies. When the majority is afraid and negative and worried, you've got to be on the offensive. You've got to be saying, I'm not going to fall into that trap. I'm not going to be thinking weak, defeated, negative thoughts. I'm going to agree with what God says. I'm going to meditate on what God says. Can you say amen? I know my God's still on the throne. I know that Him being for me is more than the whole world being against me. If God is for me, that means more than the whole world being against me. Can you say amen? Let me tell you, out of these 2 million people, the only ones who made it in the promised land were Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb, 40 years they had to wait. When they were 80 years old, they went and they took the first city of Jericho. It's not a coincidence that they were the only ones whose thoughts were in agreement with God. Let me tell you, you can't reach your God's destiny for your life if you have negative, limiting thoughts. I'm telling you, some of us, we'd go to a new level in our life if we just pay more attention to what's playing in our mind. You can't go all through the day thinking, oh, Pastor Steve, I tell you what, I just hope my child straightens up. Oh, what's going to happen if I get laid off? Oh, I don't know if I'm going to overcome this illness. Oh, I'm not sure how we're going to get out of this problem. When you dwell on that, you're not going to have peace. Meditating on the problem doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. You got to change what you're dwelling on. All through the day, go around thinking about what God says, meditating on what God says. In Psalm 34, verse 19, it says, the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Out of them all. The Living Bible says, the good man does not escape all troubles. He has them too, but the Lord helps him in each and every one. I'm not saying if you're a Christian, you're never going to have trouble, but I can tell you the Lord will help you and deliver you every single time. The Passion Bible says, even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. Praise God. Romans 8 verse 28 says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Everything, God causes everything to work for my good. Thank you, Lord, you're causing everything to work for my good. You're causing everything to come together for my good. When you meditate on that, you'll have a greater peace, you'll have a greater joy, you'll have a greater strength. The Apostle Paul, he understood this. He said in Acts 26 verse 2, I think myself happy. I think myself happy. Can I tell you, happiness starts in your thinking? Paul had been through a lot of disappointments. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd been put in jail. He'd been mistreated. He'd been beaten. Yet he wasn't focused on his problems. He wasn't meditating on how bad it was. He wasn't replaying all his disappointments. No, Paul's the one who wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's the one who wrote in Romans 8, verse 37, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all, for God has made us more than conquerors. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. See, Paul's mind was filled with thoughts of hope and faith and victory. Paul was saying, yes, it may look bad, but I've learned the secret of how to think myself happy. See, some people have thought themselves depressed. They've focused on their problems for so long, now they've thought themselves discouraged. They've watched so many news reports, they've thought themselves afraid. Here's the good news. Just like you can think yourself depressed and fearful and negative, you can think yourself happy. You can think yourself peaceful. You got to start thinking yourself happy. In other words, all through the day, we should be thinking in our mind, My best days are still out in front of me. Something big is coming my way. What was meant for my harm, God's going to use to my advantage. My greatest victories are still in my future. The glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former house. Amen. Amen. I love this scripture, Psalm 125, verse 4. It says, O Lord, do good to those who are good, whose hearts are in tune with you. If you want to see the goodness of God in your life, get your heart in tune with him. Yes. The Bible says God will be good to those whose hearts are in tune with him. Notice, you can be in tune with God or you can be out of tune. How many want to be in tune with God? How many want to be out of tune with God? You know how you get in tune with God, Pastor Steve? How do I get in tune with God? I'll tell you how. By meditating on the Word of God until you begin to think in agreement with what God's Word says. The more you meditate on the Word of God, the more you'll begin to think like Him. The less you meditate on the Word of God, the less you'll think like Him. Amen. How do you get in tune with God? By thinking victorious, overcoming faith-filled thoughts. If you go around thinking, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to get this virus. I'm afraid this depression, this anxiety, this addiction is going to hinder me all of my life. See, unfortunately, you're not in tune with God. Because you can't find anywhere in the Bible where God says, I'm weak. I'm discouraged, I'm afraid, the enemy's getting the best of me, you all pray for me. Do you ever see God in the Bible say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so worried. No, what does God say? I'm all powerful. I spoke the world into existence. I flung the stars into space. When Moses asked God, what is his name? What does God say? He said, Moses, my name is I Am. I am. He was saying, I am everything. I am strength. I am healing. I am provision. I am protection. I am abundance. I am favor. I am whatever you need. I that's what I am. The way to get in tune with God is to think, to meditate on what He says about you. Not the what you feel. Not what the experts say. Not what the economy says, but what the Most High God has spoken over you. Meditate on that. On purpose, you've got to think some power thoughts. Let me give you some things God says about you. Can I give you a few things that God says about you that you should be meditating on these things, dwelling on these things? Are you ready for this? You need to think power thoughts, like I'm strong. Ephesians 6 verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Say, I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the power of His might. Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Say that. Say, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I'm healthy. Exodus 15 verse 26, I'm the Lord who heals you. Matthew 8:17, He took our sickness and removed our disease. In 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. If I were healed, then I am healed. And if I am healed, then I is healed. So I say, I is healed. Psalm 103 verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all my diseases. Jeremiah 30 verse 17, I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Meditate on that. How about this? Psalm 91 verse 2, for he will rescue me from every trap and protect me from deadly disease. Say that. Say, thank you, Lord. You rescue me from every trap and you protect me from every disease. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3, that the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Say, Lord, I thank you. You strengthen me. You protect me from the evil one. How about meditate on the fact that you're blessed. Say, I'm blessed. Ephesians 1 verse 3, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Say, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. How about this? Say, I'm favored. Psalm 5 verse 12, Lord, you will surround the righteous with favor like a shield. Say, I'm surrounded by the favor of God. It's like a shield. Say, everywhere I go, God's favor goes with me. Everywhere I go, I have the favor of God. Say, people like me. They want to bless me. They want to help me. They want to do good to me because God's favor is on my life. You see, when you wake up in the morning and that thought comes to you, you don't want to go work today. You've got so many problems. You've got so much coming against you. You've got so many things happening. More than ever, that's when you've got to kick it into high gear and say, no, 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 no. This is going to be a great day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm excited about my future. Something good's going to happen to me today. If God is for me, who can be against me? The Lord is directing my steps. Everywhere I go, blessings are chasing me down. Meditate on that. Don't ever start the day in neutral. You know, you can't wait to see what kind of day it's going to be. You've got to decide what kind of day it's going to be when you get up in the morning. This is going to be a great day today. Before you check the news, before you check the weather, before you check to see how you feel, before you check your email, before you check your Facebook, you need to get your mind in the right direction. Because if you don't set your mind, let me tell you, the enemy will do it for you. He'll remind you of how bad you got it. He'll remind you of all the problems that you're having to deal with or how many mistakes you've made, all the things coming against you and on and on and on and on. Very often, the way we start the day will determine the kind of day we're going to have. If you start it negative, complaining, discouraged, you're setting the tone to have a lousy day. You got to meditate on the right things because your life is going to follow your thoughts. If you get up in the morning and you think, oh, you know, nothing good ever happens to me. I never get any good breaks. I'll probably never get out of debt. I don't think I'm ever going to meet the right person. I'm probably never going to get married. I'm probably going to be lonely the rest of my life. Listen, that's what you're releasing your faith for. One time, two blind men came to Jesus and they wanted him to heal them. And Jesus said to them in Matthew 9, verse 29, he touched their eyes and he said, become what you believe. And it happened. They saw. Do you know that you're going to become what you believe? Do you know that the Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, that as a man thinks in his heart, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he? Do you know that your thoughts are directing your life? If you believe you'll never meet the right person, unfortunately, you probably won't. Your faith is working. But if you believe you're going to get laid off, don't be surprised if you do. You're going to become what you believe. I'm asking you today, believe what God says about you. Believe what he says. Believe you're blessed. Believe you're favored. Believe you're strong. Believe you're healthy. Believe you're talented. Believe you're well able. Get rid of the wrong thoughts that are contaminating your thinking and start meditating on what God says about you. David said in Psalm 1 verse 1, oh, the joys of those who do not follow evil men's advice, who do not hang around with sinners, scoffing at the things of God. Listen to me. You don't want to hang around people that scoff at the things of God. Mockers that scoff at the things of God. The Bible says don't hang around people like that. It says, but they delight in doing everything God wants them to do. And day and night, they are always meditating on his laws. Day and night, they are always meditating on his word. They are thinking about ways to follow him more closely. Notice what it says. They will be like trees planted along a riverbank, bearing luscious fruit each season without fail. Their leaves shall never wither, and all that they do shall prosper. always meditating on God's word. Listen, I'm not going to meditate on what scoffers and unbelievers and people that mock God, I'm not going to meditate on what they say. I'm going to meditate on what God says. How many agree with me today? It says, man, you'll bear fruit in every season. Not some seasons, every season. That means even if the economy goes down, you'll still be bearing fruit. If you'll give yourself to meditating on the word of God, thinking like God thinks about you. When others are going under, you'll be going over. When others have total fear, you'll have total peace. When others are complaining, you'll have a song of praise. When others are surviving, you'll be thriving. The Message Bible says you'll always be in blossom. That's God's dream for your life, is that you always have a smile, that you're always in peace, that you're always excited about the future that God has for you. It doesn't mean that we won't have adversity, but in those difficult times, because your thoughts are fixed on Him and on His word and on His promises, deep down, you'll have a confidence. You'll know everything's going to be all right. You'll know that God is still on the throne. You'll know that the Lord is with you. He's fighting your battles, and you're not going to just come out of it. You're going to come out of it better off than what you were before. Amen. Why? Because you got your mind filled with God's word. And when you're in agreement with God, that's when the creator of the universe, that's when He goes to work on your behalf. He'll cause His favor to shine down on you. He'll cause you to be in the right place at the right time, making sure that you succeed. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you're going to become what you believe. You've got to take inventory of what is playing in your mind. Because if you go around and you go around thinking, oh, you know, I'm afraid I'm never going to get well. I'm afraid my child is going to go on the wrong path. I'm afraid I'm going to get laid off. Your faith is going to draw in the negative. That's what happened with Job. We know Job went through a lot of difficulties. It was a 9-month period in his life. But he said in Job 3:25, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. And what I dreaded has happened to me. Do you know that fear actually opens the door for what you are fearing to take place in your life? Just like faith opens the door for God to move in your life. Just like your faith can work in the right direction, it can work in the wrong direction. You've got to pay attention to what you're meditating upon. Because if you'll fill your mind with the right thoughts, there won't be any room for the wrong thoughts. When you go around constantly thinking about what God says, what the Word of God says, I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm blessed, I'm favored, then when the negative thoughts come knocking, there'll be a no vacancy sign. They won't be able to get in. Are you with me? One time we went to South Africa, and we had to stop in Johannesburg, and then we caught a connecting flight to Cape Town, and we had our hotel already booked, of course, but the flight was delayed by a number of hours, so by the time we arrived much later than we arrived at midnight. And we got to Cape Town at midnight, and we were exhausted. We'd been flying for over 25 hours. And when we got to the hotel, they had given away our room. They were totally full. And so I asked to speak to the manager, and he said, I'm sorry, but we got no vacancies. I can't make somebody leave and give you their room. And I was like, why not? He said, I'm sorry. So they sent us to another nearby hotel. But let me tell you, that's how it is. When you keep your mind filled with God's word, when the thought of fear comes knocking, you're not going to make it. The problem's too big. Let me in. Give me room to stay. That thought of fear in your mind, it's just like that hotel manager. You're going to say, sorry, fear, no vacancy here, no room here. You're going to have to find a room somewhere else. Or when that thought comes, you're never going to get well. Have you seen the medical report? Or you say, no vacancy. I choose to believe God's report. God is restoring health to me. Or when that thought comes, you've seen your best days. You respond, no vacancy. My mind is filled with thoughts of faith and hope and victory and increase and abundance. I got no room for doubt and unbelief and anxiety and fear. Can you say amen, somebody? Take inventory of who's staying in your house. Who's occupying the rooms of your mind? Because if you give fear a room, then faith gets left outside. There's not room for both. If you give I can't a room, then I can is left outside. If you give a room to lack, barely get by, I'm never going to make it, then increase and promotion and abundance is left at the door. That's why the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3, even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every what? Bringing every what? Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, you got to get rid of the wrong thoughts. When a wrong thought comes to your mind, and wrong thoughts come to everybody. Yeah, I have wrong thoughts. I just don't receive it. I cast it down. I reject it. Get rid of the wrong thought and let what God says about you have a permanent home in your mind. Think of it like this. When you go to bed, you lock the doors to your house, right? When you go to bed, you don't want any strangers coming in because that's where you live. That's your home. Well, you need to be the same way about your mind. This is where I live. This is my future. This is controlling my life. I'm not going to let just any thought come in. I'm not going to meditate just on any thought. I'm not going to let any thought have a home. I'm going to guard the doorway to my mind. And I'm only going to give room to thoughts of faith and victory and hope. Amen. Amen. I heard it put like this. Someone said, if you owned an apartment complex and you rented out 80% of your apartments to drug dealers, thieves, criminals, and 20% to law-abiding citizens, after a few months, what would happen? The drug dealers and thieves will run off all the normal people. It's the same way with your thoughts. If you go around dwelling on how bad it is and dwelling on your problems and all that you don't have and all that you can't do and how tough your future is going to be, then those negative thoughts are going to run off the positive thoughts. You got to quit renting out space in your mind to your problems. Quit renting out valuable space to self-pity. Don't rent it out to thoughts like can't do it, not gonna happen. Some of us, let me tell you, some of us, we need to serve an eviction notice to those negative thoughts that have been playing in our mind. We need to tell those thoughts, you've occupied my rooms long enough. I've got a new renter coming in. My new renter is faith and peace and victory. Doubt and fear, you gotta go. You're not welcome. I cast you down in Jesus' name. That's what you're gonna do with your mind. Now, I'm not saying that you deny the negative report or you act like they don't exist. I'm simply saying, don't dwell on it. Don't meditate on it. Don't let it consume you to where that's all you think about. That's all you talk about. Learn to downplay it. One time in Scripture, Jesus was headed to pray for a little girl. She was very sick, but he kept on getting delayed by people. And then some people came from the little girl's house, and they told the little girl's father, they said, tell Jesus he doesn't need to come anymore. It's too late. She already died. And listen to what happened. In Mark 5, verse 36, the Bible says Jesus, overhearing but ignoring what they said, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid. Only keep on believing in me and my power. Let me tell you, Jesus heard the negative report, but he didn't let it take root. He didn't meditate on it. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't turn around and go back home. He knew people don't have the final say. God has the final say. And in order to listen to me, if you're going to stay in faith, you have to learn to ignore a negative report. You have to learn to ignore what so-and-so said about you. You even have to learn to ignore what your own thoughts are telling you. You may hear it, but do like Jesus, choose not to dwell on it. You got to ignore it and meditate rather on what God says. Now, I'm not a big football fan. Nothing against it. Don't get mad at me. I just don't understand it fully, a little bit. But one time I was watching this football game, and it was the playoffs, and there were only a few seconds left in the game, and the visiting team, they were down by 2 points, and they were about to attempt a field goal, and it would win them the game. And so the kicker was on the field. He was lining up. He was getting ready for the biggest kick of his life. The opposing fans were hollering at him. They were trying to distract him. They were trying to put him off. And just as he was about to kick, the other team called a timeout to give the fans some more time to intimidate him a little bit more. They started playing on the big screens all the times in the past that he'd missed the kick. Even years ago. I don't know how they found it so fast, but all his failures, they replayed it on the screen. And every time he missed, the crowd went crazy. 80,000 people screaming against him. He kicked that ball right through the uprights, won the game. Afterwards, a reporter came and said, how did you handle the pressure with all these thousands of people that were screaming against you? He said, it's funny, because I didn't hear the screaming. I just kept telling myself, you can do this. You got what it takes. You can do this. You got what it takes. The reporter said, what about the on the big screen, they were replaying all your you know, missed kicks in the past. He said, yeah, I saw it. I didn't pay any attention to it. I just ignored it. Listen to me. Then there will be times in your life when it feels like every voice is telling you, you're never going to do it. It's never going to work out. You're never going to accomplish it. It may be physical voices of people around you, critics and naysayers, or it may just be voices in your own mind, thoughts trying to discourage you. Don't be surprised if the enemy comes and replays all your failures. Oh, remember what you did in 1999? Remember that? You got to do like that kicker. You may hear it, but you got to choose to ignore it. You got to remember, people don't determine my destiny. God determines my destiny. And if you'll get in agreement with God and not let those distractions get you, of course, let me tell you, God will get you to where you need to be. God will do amazing things in your life. Amen. I love what Samantha posted on Facebook this week. I happened to see it, and I thought, that's amazing, because that's what I'm going to be preaching about. I'd already prepared my sermon when I read your Facebook post, and she posted this post on Facebook, and it said, I won't read the whole thing, but just certain things she said. The biggest fight you will ever have in your life is in your mind. In your mind, there's a constant battle. It's so important to feed your mind with the Word of God, because you will become what you think. What you feed your mind will bring you a successful life or a hindered life. I really love what you said, because that's exactly what God told Joshua. God told Joshua the success secret. He said in Joshua 1 verse 8, where you at, Joshua? This is for you. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and you will be successful. Let me tell you, God is not opposed to success. God is not opposed to you being prosperous. What God is opposed to is you. God is opposed to us being covetous. God doesn't have a problem with you having abundance. God doesn't have a problem with you having money. He has a problem with money having you. Did you get that? God doesn't care how much money you got, as long as it doesn't control you, as long as He's first in your life. And you know how you can tell that? Because if you tithe. Because if you can't tithe, you don't have money, money got you. And everybody shouted, amen, Pastor Steve. That's good preaching, Pastor Steve. Preach on some more, Pastor Steve. Come on, turn it up a bit more. Let me tell you. The key. Here's the key. What's going on in your thought life? What are you meditating on? One of the greatest success habits is meditating on what God's Word says. That's why my grandchildren just recently bought them all a Bible, New Living Translation, put their name on it, mailed it off. I told them every day, if they'll read one chapter, I'll give them a dollar. And every Sunday, they send me I've read seven chapters. Here comes your $7. Every time they finish a book of the Bible, they get a $5 bonus. And if they do 30 days straight, they get a $10 bonus. Why am I doing that? Because the greatest thing I can ever impart to my grandchildren is that they would meditate on the Word of God and read the Bible every single day. If you're going to meditate on God's Word, how many of you know you're going to have to read the Bible every day? Because what you do is you read the Bible, you find out what God says, and then you think about it. You think, don't try and see how fast you can read the Bible. See how slow you can read it. I don't care about reading it fast. I'd rather we'd read one chapter and really take it in. Sometimes I'm in my Bible reading, I'll read a scripture and I don't quite get it. So I'll go to another translation. Ah, now I get what it's saying. And then I'll think about it. I'll go away in the day. I think about that. That's meditating on the Word of God. Are you with me? Make a decision. You're going to keep your thoughts fixed on what God says in His Word. Remember, you're going to become what you believe. Every day, you've got to set your mind in the right direction. Don't meditate on your problems. Meditate on His promises. Learn to think yourself happy. Think yourself peaceful. Think yourself victorious, because victory starts in our thinking. Let me tell you, if you'll develop this habit of meditating on what God says, let me tell you what will happen. You're going to have perfect peace. You're going to always be in blossom. You're going to prosper. You're going to have good success. And I declare you're going to overcome every obstacle. You're going to defeat every enemy. And you're going to become everything God destined you to be, in Jesus' name. If you receive it today, say amen. Amen. Give God some thanks and praise. You receive this today? Receive it today? Well, it happened again. I preached myself happy. Happened again. Why? Because I'm just telling you what God says. And I get as blessed out of this as you do, because I'm simply telling you what God says. I'm preaching to me too. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Meditate on these things. Right? Bow your head for a moment if you would. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for every person that is here today and every person that is watching this today. Lord, I pray right now for every person. I pray, Lord, that as they meditate in your word and as they make this decision, I thank you that they are going to see amazing things happen in their life. I thank you, Father, they're going to see blessings come chasing after them. They are going to see divine favor. They are going to see victories. They're going to have a new strength. They're going to have a new peace in the name of Jesus. While you have your head bowed, just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed if you would, because there's just one final prayer I want to pray. I want to pray for anyone who's here this morning, and you say, Pastor Steve, I'm really not sure where I stand with God today. I'm really not sure if all is right, if all is well between me and the Lord. Listen, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or do you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking you is, are you sure that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity? Because the good news is you can be sure of that. You can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you will spend eternity. There is a heaven that awaits us. Heaven is a real place. And there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. If you're watching this online, if you're not sure what would happen to you, if you were to die today, please let me pray with you. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make sure that everything is right, everything is well between me and the Lord. If that is you, I want you quickly, right now, just lift your hand up high. Just lift up your hand. Say, here's my hand, Pastor Steve. Pray for me. Include me. And if your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. If you're watching us online, pray this prayer. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse number 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Say this with me. Everybody, those watching online, say this. Say, Lord, I thank you that you love me so much that you came to this earth and you died on a cross and you took my sin and you shed your blood. And you said that if I believe that you've been raised from the dead and if I confess that you are Lord, you said I will be saved. I do this today. I believe in my heart, Jesus, you are alive. You've been raised from the dead. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. And I thank you because I have received you. Say, I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in your book of life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen and amen. The Bible says if you pray that prayer, if you believe Jesus has been raised from the dead and you confess him as Lord of your life, you will be saved. You become a child of God. God forgives you of all your sin. He gives you a great inheritance. I encourage you, start reading your Bible. Find out God's will for your life. We love you. Amen. We're so glad that you were here today. Praise God. We look forward to having Prophet Ed Trout with us on May 31st, Pentecost Sunday. I want to ask you, please, take some of these invite cards out there in the lobby as you leave today. Let's start inviting people to church again. Restaurants are open. Let me tell you, I went to a restaurant the other day. It was packed out. The gyms are opening up. Can't wait. I'll be missing gym. Can't wait. Church is open. Let's invite people. Let's start growing again. Amen. Are you excited about it? Come on, let your face know that you're excited about your future. Amen. Lord, we just thank you that we do not have to fear. We're so glad that you're with us, you're for us. You're our protector, our deliverer, our healer, our provider. Lord, we give you all praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being here. God bless everybody. We'll see you next time.
You call me out.